The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Seeing that we are standing in the time period between Pesach and Shavuos, in the days of Sfiras Eimah, and also tonight is Lag BaEimah, the 33rd of the Eimah, I'd like to devote a shiur to this subject. The days between the going out of Egypt and Shavuos, which are known Bein Pesach La'Atzeres. During these days, we fulfill the mitzvahs of counting of the Eimer, and that is between the Hakrovas HaEimer, bringing the first crops of the barley on the day following the first day of Pesach, and between bringing the first crops of the wheat, the first wheat offering in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shtei Alechem, we count 7 Shabbosis Tmimais, 7 full weeks, 49 days, and on the 50th day we declare a Yontif of Shavuos. This is what takes place during Pesach La'atzeres. And it's during this time that we are Eile Madrega Mi Madrega, the Madrega. We ascend one step after another from the level of Cheruseinu that we acquired when we went out of Egypt, freedom, to the level of Shar HaTera, the gates of the Torah, which is Shara Hamishim, on the 50th day, and also in the 8th week, after 7 weeks. That's one group of mitzvahs in regards to Sfiras Eimah of these days. Now we have a second type of mitzvah. It's not so much of a mitzvah, but rather a anhoga, a custom. And that's referred to dinim anohagim bimea eimer, the various laws which take place during the Omer. That, for example, one of the early sources, this is something, these particular customs that we're referring to now, are not mentioned in the Gemara. They came from after the time of the Gemara, during the time of the Gaonim. One of the early sources that we have for them is in the Tur. The Tur in Chelek Or HaChaim, Siman Tov Kuf Tzadik Beis. Tov Tzadik Gimel. Alright, in Siman Tov Tzadik Gimel, Neigin B'chol HaMakemes, the custom is in all of places. It's interesting, I don't, to my knowledge, the Rambam does not bring these halachos. Neigin B'chol HaMakemes, the custom is in all places, Shalei Liso Isha, not to get married, Bein Pesach La'atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos. Bahatam, and the reason, Shalei Laharbis B'Simcha, in order not to indulge in too much simcha during this time. Shebeis Man Mesu Tamir Rebbe Kiva, because it was during this time that the disciples of Rebbe Kiva died. Because of Ari Geus, Dafki Nesuin, it's referring here to marriage, Shikir Simcha, Avla Aris Lekadish Shapedomi, but Eresin and Kedushin is permitted. This is interesting for the Talmidim of the Yeshiva that are learning Ksubas now, because only Chupa, they forbade. But the Kedushin itself, that would be permitted. And then the Torah goes into this, and then he brings B'yesh Mekemes, and there were other places, Shenoagul Shalei Listaper, that also during these days, not to be Mistaper, not to take haircuts. And then he goes into these dinim. So here we have a second set of halachos which take place during this time, and this is referred to as the dinim anohagim bimei ha'ema, the dinim which take place during the Omer, and that was to be memayit b'simcha, a type of mourning, or a semi-mourning period. And because, not because of what the Sfiras HaEmer actually is, but because during this time was Mesu Tamida Rebbe Kiva, the disciples of Rebbe Kiva died. Actually, the days of the, which we refer to as the days of the Emer, these are days of Simcha. Days between Pesach and Shavuos are very, very good days. They're from the best days. And they're from the days that went from Chedus to Matan Torah, from freedom to the receiving of the Torah. But because of another event, which seemingly happened to take place during these days, therefore, in later generations, we assumed upon ourselves a period of semi-mourning, basically in regards to marriages and in regards to haircuts and so forth. And these are customs which we keep during the Omer. In the Midrashim it's brought. It's either brought in the name of the Medrash, or some of the Karbonim, the early ones, bring it in the name of a Tosfos, that the tragedy which took place was not during the entire days of the Omer, but only during 33 days of the Omer. And that's the significance of Lag BaOmer, on the 33rd day of the Omer, that there the tragedy ceased. According to, there are a number of opinions, but according to one major opinion. Now, what is this that they're referring to? That the Talmidim of Rebbe Kiva died? How do we know about this? This is a Gemara in Masechta Yevamos. And Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara brings as follows. It's an interesting Gemara, and there's a great deal we can learn from it, both in regards to our topic and in regards to other points also. The Gemara brings Tanya Rabbi Shua Aimer. Rabbi Shua said, Nosa Odom Isha Bialdusai, if a person marries a woman in his youth, and then heaven forbid his wife dies and he's older, Isha Biziknusai, he should still marry a wife in his older age, and it's referring to a woman that can bear children. Hey Yele Talmidim Bialdusai, Yele Talmidim Ziknusai. Excuse me, I skipped something. Yele Bonim Heyele Bonim Bialdusai, Yele Bonim Ziknusai. If he had children in his youth, he should not cease, but he should have children also in his older years. Shenemar, why? Because it states, and this is a posuk in Kehelis. Kehelis Yud Aleph, Posuk Vov, Babek Zra Ezarecho, Uvilo Erev Al Tanach Yodecho, that in the morning one should plant his seed, you should plant your seed, and in the evening do not rest your hand from this. Ki Eintch Yodea Eze Yichshar Hazer Ozev Imshneem Ki Echo Tovim, because you'll never know which one will turn out right, this one or that one, or if they will both be good. Therefore, in the morning, plant your seeds. Morning refers to your youth. And in your older years, Al Tanach Eshodecho, do not hold back your hand, do not rest. So this is what Rabbi Shua taught. Rashi brings on this posuk from the Medrash. He brings, I can find it here. He brings us that this, like we're going to see from the Gemara, he says this refers not only to having children, but it also refers to teaching disciples, and it also refers to the study of Torah. Im lamadta Torah b'yaldesecha, if you study Torah in your youth, lamad Torah b'ziknesecha, study Torah in your older years also. Don't say that I've learnt in yeshivas in my youth, and I spent a lot of days or a lot of years in yeshiva, and now in my older years it's not necessary anymore, because you might forget what you learnt, and therefore you have to carry on learning all of the time. Im hayele talmidim b'yaldesecha, yelochot talmidim b'ziknesecha. The same thing, if a person teaches many, many students in his youth, and he has the great privilege to be Maimon Talmidim. Now he gets older, and he's tired, and he figures enough. Let the younger ones take over. No. You had the privilege to teach Talmidim in your youth, carry on in your old age also. Nosato isha bas bonim b'yaldisecho, tisu isha bas bonim b'ziknesecho. If you married a woman that could bear children in your youth, now you're an old man and you have no wife anymore, marry another woman that can bear children. Osiso tztoka b'yaldisecho, aseit tztoka b'ziknesecho. If you gave a lot of stock in your youth, far more than you were obligated to, don't say you've done your share and now it's time to retire. See, actually this is a whole policy against retirement. You're not to retire, but you're to carry on. Now Shlomo HaMelech tells us why. This is coming from Kehelet. Shlomo HaMelech, who was the Chochem Mikolodim, the wisest of all men, so we must listen carefully to what he's telling us. All of the advertisements will tell you to retire and cash in your insurance policies, and today is the whole all through the world that's coming to South Africa, where you have the ultimate in retirement villages, and there you can have a Gan Eden on this world. Now Shlomo HaMelech is telling you not like that, because this world was not given for a Gan Eden. Gan Eden is in the next world. This world was given to achieve and to produce. As long as a man is alive, as long as he can do something, he must do it. So even though you have achieved in your youth, you have brought children into the world, and you have studied Torah, and you have brought disciples into the world, and you have given enormous stokas, charities, don't retire in your old age. Carry on. And Shlomo HaMelech says, because we never know what's going to happen, besides the schus, the more mitzvahs, but we never know what's going to happen a person with a person's deeds that were in his youth. Now Rashi says, "Im talmidim ubonim shibaldusecho yiskaimeloch or shemelo yiskaimeloch elo shibizikinaisecho." If your children or your talmidim will stand up, all right. Now Rashi brings the case of Rebbe Kiva, which we will learn in the Gemara. But then he adds another case. Motzinu ba'aftzim. We find by Aftzim. Aftzim was Baez. We know the story for Rus. Aftzim was Baez the Shefet, and he married Rus, and he had a son, Oved. And from Oved came Dovid HaMelech, came Yishai, and then Dovid HaMelech. So that was a good son, because from that son and that union came Malchus Yisrael. See, kingship royalty to Israel, Dovid HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech. What the Megillas Rus doesn't tell us explicitly is that Aftzim, Boaz, was not a young man. Rus was a young girl. But Boaz was an old man. The fact is, it does intimate that when he told her, "Why are you after me? Go after the Bahurim, go after the young men. You're a young girl, what do you want with an old man?" And he was not only an old man, but he was married before, and he had an enormous amount of children. So Rashi brings Shleishim Bonais Sholachutzo Ushleishim Bonais Hevia Levono. 30 daughters he gave away to other men for marriage, and 30 daughters of other people he brought in to marry to his 30 sons. He had 30 daughters and 30 sons. V'kulam meisu b'chayof, and they all died during his lifetime. U'b'ziknusa heilid es evei v'niskayim, and in his old age he gave birth to Oved, that from here came out a light to the entire world. So from there, Shlomo HaMelech is telling you, you see, you don't know what happened. What will happen? A man could say, I brought so many children into the world. So now let someone else work. Okay? It's enough. I'm ready for retirement. Had he said that, then David HaMelech would not have come into the world, at least not through him. So that's in regards to Bonim. What's in regards to Talmidim, and why is the Gemara bringing this in Yevamos? Well, actually, Gemara is also speaking here on the mitzvah of Pruvavu, the mitzvah of having children, but it's referring now, wants to tell us about Talmidim, about disciples. Omru, it was said. Excuse me, there's another piece of Gemara where Rabbi Kiva himself said this. Rabbi Kiva aimer, Lamateri bi Aldusa il metere bizik nusai, Helelei tamiri bi Aldusa yele tamir bizik nusai. Rabbi Kiva himself said this now, that if you learn, study Torah in your youth, keep studying in your old age. If you taught Torah in your youth, teach in your old age. And he brings from the same posuk. Omru, now Rabbi Kiva was telling us this because it happened with he himself. Shnaim Osir Elef Zugim Talmidim Hoyulei Rebbe Kiva Megivas Antiperish. Rebbe Kiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, which is 24,000 disciples, which were stretched out across Eretz Yisrael from Givas Ad Antiperish. How did Rebbe Kiva get 24,000 students? That's other Gemaras. Well, Rabbi Kiva started to learn very late in life. He says that until 40 years old he knew nothing. And then he met Rochel, and Rochel was an inspiration to him. And he married her. And she said, I'll marry you, but on the condition that you'll go and study Torah. And he went away and studied Torah. And number of years, and he started from the Aleph base, and he started to grow and grow in Torah. And he became so great in Torah that he went away to study for a long period of time by people that were not, there was no one that could teach him in his neighborhood. And he went away for 12 years and then for another 12 years, and after 24 years he came home with these 24,000 students. And these 24,000 students were great Talmidei Chachomim. Rebbe Kiva occupied a very unique position in Torah history, that it states that through him the entire Teisha Baal Peh, the oral law, was transmitted to the generations following. And at that time, it was being transmitted through these 24,000 students. Then, Omru, it was said, that Rebbe Kiva had these 24,000 students from Givas to Antiperes, Vekulan Mesu, and they all died. Veperek Echod, during one period of time. Imagine a tragedy like that. A tragedy to the world, and what a personal tragedy, a tragedy to these families, and what a personal tragedy this must have been to Rebbe Kiva. It was more than a tragedy. It's something which the mind cannot even conceive. Kulan meisu beperek echod mibnei shalei noagu kovod zelazeh. And the Gemara says, why did they die? Because they did not give appropriate honor one to the other. Each one was a Kalik, each one was a Talmud Chochem, and it states that you must give honor to your chaver, to your colleague, like to your Rebbe, because from him you learn Torah also. Harbe lamarati mechaverai. Harbe lamarati mirabeisai veyesi mechaverai. I learned a great deal from my Rebbe, and I learned even more from my chaverim. It's talking chaverim in Torah. Those that you learn Torah with. Because with a chaver you debate, and you hammer out, and you fight, and one corrects the other, and through one the other achieves. And they did not give appropriate cover to each other. Probably the reason why is that each one was so great in his own right, so maybe he felt he didn't have to give honor to the other one. This is what happened. V'hoya eilim shomim. And the world was desolate. What does it mean, the world was desolate? So Rashi says, Shenishtakho Torah. Torah was forgotten from the world. There was no more Torah in the world. If Rabbi Kiva was the one that was transmitting the Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral law, through his Talmidim, and all of his Talmidim died, so then there was no more Torah in the world. It was forgotten. Until Rabbi Kiva went to our Rabbi Seinu, to our Rabbeim in the south. Mishono lehem, and he started to teach them. Who were they? They were five. Remeir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Loza ben Shamua. He sat and he taught them. Now Rabbi Kiva was an old man. He was only 40 when he started to learn. And it took him 24 years to bring up these Talmidim. And he didn't start bringing up Talmidim as soon as he started to learn. He started to learn Aleph Beis first. So Rabbi Kiva already was probably well into his 70s or 80s or older. He lived to 120 years old. But he was very old. And he picked himself up and he went to the south and he taught five students there. Behem heim amidu teira. Esu shor. And these are the ones that brought Torah back to Israel. They became great, and from these five came out Torah to Israel. Who were they again? Remeir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Loza ben Shamua. Now, when did they die? It states Kula Mesu beperek Echor, all at one time. Tana Kula Mesu bePesach vaAdat Seres. They all died from Pesach till Shavuos during this time. Omer Rabbi Chama Baraba v'Yitim Rabbi Chia Barabin Kula Mesu Misaro Ma'hi Omer Rabbi Nachman Askro. And Leolenu, each one died. They died from a very, very severe plague, which is called Askara. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Zra zachor b'beker." Valtanach v'le'ere valtanach eshadecho. Plant in the morning, but do not retire in the evening days of your life. From this story, there are a great many lessons. First of all, those that we've already mentioned. Secondly, from here we see that a person has no right in this world to become depressed or disappointed to the point where it totally immobilizes him. This was an enormous tragedy by Rabbi Kiva, more than enormous. It's devastating. And the average person, more than the average person, would have said, "All right, that's it." Now, Rabbi Kiva rolled up his sleeves and he went south And he sat down and he opened another yeshiva with 5 talmidim. There was no doubt that it was this thought that motivated many of the Gedali Israel that survived the Holocaust. They came to America, they came to Eretz Israel, broken people. They saw a world go up in flames. Thousands and thousands, cities, yeshivas, communities, families go up in flames. And they were tired, they were broken. But this Gemara says not like that. You have to get up again. If you're living and you're well and you've been spared, you have to get up again and go back to work. So it's not only a question that a man should not retire in his old age, but a man has no right to retire from doing good things even after, heaven forbid, the greatest devastation or destruction could touch him. So that's another point. Another point that we see from this Gemara. We see that Hatzlocha, success, is not necessarily dependent in numbers. If someone would ask you, what's better, a yeshiva of 24,000 or a yeshiva of 5? So even a shaita would answer, naturally, a yeshiva of 24,000 is better than a yeshiva of 5. Here we see not like that. Rabbi Akiva had a yeshiva of 24,000 and he had a yeshiva of 5. And from the 24,000 was Shomima Olam. Torah became forgotten. And from the yeshiva of 5, Heim Hamidu Torah Beisashor. They brought Torah back. So numbers is something that never impresses us. Never impresses us. A Jew is trained to look at quality, not quantity. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, he said, I chose you not because you're the largest nation. If I was interested in the largest nation, there are nations that are larger. There's China, there's India, that go into the billions. But Atem Hamat Mino Ami, you are the smallest nation. I didn't choose you because of your numbers. I chose you because of your perfection, because of your quality, because of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. This is very important to remember, because we live in a Western society, or it's not even in a society, just the opposite. It constantly places emphasis on numbers, on ribui, on quantity, on great numbers, and not on quality. In our society, anyone would know, if he's in the music business, that a million cheap tapes of cheap music will bring them far greater wealth than one record of Mozart's greatest symphony. And anyone knows that a million or 10,000 cheap junk paintings will bring them far more money than one Rembrandt. There's nothing to talk about. This is the world we live in. But here for the Gemara we see not like that. A yeshiva of 24,000 could not achieve what a yeshiva of 5 could achieve. Heim, these are the ones who have made a Torah b'Yisroel. They brought Torah to the world at that time. So that's another very important point. Actually, I mentioned that Lag BaOmer is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that it should be a day of of our, when we add a little simcha to the day, and we do get married, and we do take haircuts, but it's obscure as to why. All of this is obscure because the dinim, because they're not mentioned in the Gemara. And the basic reason is brought is because the tragedy, the plague, lasted for 33 days and it stopped after Lag B'Omer. But others go into other reasons. And I once saw a very nice reason. I think it was from the Chidor. See, some link the reason to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon was one of these five, and that's Reb Shimon Yochai. And some link the reason to him. Some want to say that this was his yahrzeit. This is when he died. I believe, if I recall correctly, it was the Chidor. The Chidor says it's not true. He says he didn't die on that day. He didn't die in Lag B'Omer. It's not his yahrzeit. So he says another reason. I don't remember where the source he brings, but a very interesting reason. He says it was when Rabbi Kiva went to the south and started to teach Torah again, and he started to teach Rav Shimon Yochai, it was on Lag B'Omer. It was on that day he started to teach this group. And in particular, see, Rav Shimon became his Talmud Buvak. He became the one that carried on all of his Chochmah. Now, what we can ask here, and what we learned, Kulan Meso Beperek Echod Mibnei Shalei Noaga Kovet Zelazel. These 24,000 great individuals, you have to be a great individual to be a Talmid of Rav Kiva, they all died during one time because they did not accord honor one to the other. We can ask two questions. First of all, why did they all die during this particular time? To the contrary, Adarabba, we said this particular time is Yimei Simcha. It's a time between Cherus and Matan Torah. Secondly, why did such a great tragedy come? Merely because they did not accord each one proper honor. Seems that the tragedy and the punishment is far out of proportion to what their shortcomings were. Let's see if we can explain this a bit. And this is in accordance to the interpretation of the Maral in various places. One is in his Nesiva Teira and also Nesiva Avasreya, and also on the Gemara, on this particular Gemara in Yevamos. We're speaking about COVID, Anna. COVID is something which is very, very difficult to describe. COVID is something which everybody wants and everyone enjoys, but yet at the same time it's very difficult to explain why does one want it and why does one enjoy it. It's not something that we can take and put into our pockets. It's not money. Aye, there are those people who want honor because maybe they can make money with it, and they're not interested in the honor, they're interested in the money. But someone who's interested in the COVID, someone who has the COVID, it's not honor, it's not money, it's not something which is physical, that we can physically give some type of picture to, some type of structure to. Yet, if a person goes to another place and they give him honor, they give him respect, they are mekabel ponim yofes, they receive him nicely, they give him shalom, they extend greetings to him nicely, or maybe they even stand up for him, or they go out and meet him and escort him. And certainly if the people that are doing this are anoshim nichbodim, are honorable, distinguished people themselves, or certainly if they're even greater people than he is, even though they never gave him anything, they didn't give him any money, or they didn't give him any food, or they didn't give him anything to drink, still, this is a great experience for him, and this is a great gift to him, and he'll remember it a long time. He'll always remember that particular city, or that particular community, or that particular house that he went to, with a warm feeling, because they treated him so nicely. But we're not necessarily, we're not talking where they treated him nicely by giving him lavish gifts or giving him food and giving drink. Yes, they gave him respect and honor. But what did they give him? What does this do to the person? Now, we have a Mishnah Masechta Ovis, which is often quoted, that about the three of the great motivations in man is kina, envy, taiva, desire, and kovod, honor. Now when we say kina, envy, this we're referring to as great powers, great forces of the emotions of the nefesh. Similar to this is hatred, love, anger, revenge, kina, envy, and jealousy. So these are forces of the emotions. Taiva, this is physical desire. These are forces of the physical part of man. He wants to eat, he wants to drink, and so forth. So man has a quest for these things. Then there is kovod. What is kovod? Kovod, the Maral writes, doesn't have to do with the physical body. It's not a physical desire. It doesn't have to do with the emotions. It's not an emotional desire. But rather it has to do with the seichel, it has to do with the spirit of man. With the intellect and the spirit of man. This is kovod. And kovod is something in itself which is spiritual. And that's why it's so difficult for us to describe it physically, because it's not physical, it's not even emotional, but rather it's spiritual. And it's spiritual man, the spiritual aspect of man, that seeks this. An animal, he has strong physical desires. The fact is, being more physical than man, he even has greater physical desires. It's interesting, if you'll ever follow the life of the wild game, you'll find that their whole life centers around the hunt. Their whole life is motivated around food for themselves. Animals have emotions. They can become angry. Don't play with them. You'll find out they can become very angry. They can become jealous. They love and they hate. But the quest for honor by an animal is either nil or very close to nil. I say very close to nil because we do find a certain aspect, but otherwise it's very close to nil. Because that's coming from the spiritual part of man. And in that, an animal lacks quite a bit of that. Therefore, when a person is accorded honor and respect, actually what you're doing is you are feeding the greatest part of man. When you give him food, you're feeding his stomach. Eventually it'll go into all parts of man. You can give him something else which will feed his emotions. But when you give him honor and respect, you are feeding the greatest aspect of man, the crown of man, the spirit of man, the soul that's in man, the Tzelem Elokim, image of Hashem that's in man. And this is why when a person is honored, all of a sudden he feels so good. Feels good. Doesn't know exactly why, but he feels good. He feels a new esteem. He feels a self-respect. He feels a confidence. He feels a spiritual upliftment when people are accorded respect and honor. And this is the reason. Give food to someone, he's going to feel physically satisfied. Stomach will be full. Or sometimes you will feel his emotions. But when you give him honor and respect, you are inflating his spirit. You are filling his spirit. And that's why a person feels so good afterwards. He doesn't, might not realize why, but he's becoming spiritually stronger. Just like you gave him food, he's becoming physically stronger. He's becoming spiritually stronger. Because COVID has to do with that aspect of man. And he feels an upliftment. It's a spiritual upliftment. He feels an inspiration. Now, who do we give this COVID to? When do we give COVID to? COVID is when anyone has a mila. He has something which is distinguished. He has achieved a certain level, or he has achieved something, or he has an attribute which others do not have. And if it's something of chashiva, something of value and importance, then this demands that others pay respect to it. You pay respect to something which is above you. Don't pay respect to something which is below you. For example, you wouldn't stand up or bow to an animal, heaven forbid. You pay respect. You give honor to something which is above you. Someone who has an attribute or a perfection or an achievement which you do not have, then that requires you giving respect to it. That requires recognition. It requires admiration. It's important. He has an importance that you don't have. He's distinguished in this way. And therefore, demanding one to recognize it and to admire it. So you bow to it. You stand up for it. You respect it. This is what honor is. Now naturally, the honor accorded to one for this particular mila, for this particular achievement, or what he excels in, this particular excellence, naturally the honor and the excellence must be appropriate to each other. In other words, the ratio of the excellence is what demands what type of honor there should be. Unfortunately, in our world, you have what is known as Kovad Ameduma, imaginary honors. They're not real honors. Western culture, a person can excel at playing marbles. He becomes the champion marble player, and you can have all types of awards given to him. He's excelled. Then, but any bar das, a person who is a bar seichel, who's intelligent, must realize then that since that achievement is not that much of an achievement or an excellence, so then that honor accorded to him is a, in Yiddish mizogt, is ogeblosen, is a bit inflated. And when we are speaking of real honor, we're speaking of real recognitions, of real distinctions and real excellences. And this is what honor is. Now, therefore, we can understand why the Torah commanded us. For example, we're obligated to give kovod l'malchus. You must give a kovod to a king. You always find honor is very closely associated to a king, because a king stands above the people. It's a different level, a different stratum, and therefore it requires we honor a king. Or for example, we honor someone who's older than us in years, because he also is distinguished from what we are. Or we honor a zokein, a person who's very, very old. But what we must realize is that the real honor in this world, and real honor, that's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's for the Almighty. Because if we're speaking that honor is a recognition of an excellence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stands above all. That's why when it comes to the Almighty, we give enormous amount, we require to, and it's proper to give enormous amount of honor to the Almighty. And then also to His Torah. We find all of the time that honor is linked to Torah, Kovod HaTorah. Because all the sages tell us in the Mishnah and others, the Ein Kovod Ela Torah. Torah is what is proper to give honor to, total honor. Because there is nothing which stands us above this world like Torah, which excels so much, which is perfection, which is above the man. Therefore we must bow to it, we must recognize it, admire it, and give honor. And especially in view that we're saying that honor is something spiritual. And the Chazal tell us, to the Chachmei HaTorah, to those who are learned in Torah, Chachom, Kovod Chachomim Yincholu. True honor, that's the right of the wise in Torah, for this reason that we said. And also, we are obligated to honor our fellow man. Why? How does our fellow man stand above us? Because Choviv Odom Shenivro B'Tzelem Elokim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man his image. He created man in his image. And since he's created in his image, we are obligated to honor every man for that reason. A man is not a table, but a man is not a wall, or a man is not an animal. He's a human being that was created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means he carries the Tzelem Elokim. Therefore we are obligated to honor. And when we accord recognition and admiration and respect to a certain aspect, it creates a bond. We bond ourselves to that we're giving honor to. And if we give honor, full honor to Torah, we are creating a bond to the level of Torah. to the Chachomim, we are creating a bond to the Chachomim. To a person, because he's a human being created in the image of the Almighty, we are creating a bond with the Tzelem Elokim, with the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a explanation in what honor and respect is. Now, because of this, we find in a number of places in the Talmud that if we give honor and recognition to something which is above this world, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or like the Torah, or like the Chachomim, and so forth, then we create a bond with a life which is beyond this world. But if we detract from that honor, then we cut ourselves off from that level of life. Let me give a few illustrations. The Gemara in Masechet Brachos, Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara brings Kishecholer Reb Lezer Nichnas Talmidim Levakrei. When Reb Lezer was dying, his Talmidim came in to visit him. When he was sick, he was very sick, he was old, so the Talmidim came in to visit him. And they said, Lamdeinu ol chai v'niske bohen le'elem abo. They said, Rebbe, teach us. You are leaving this world, you will go to the world to come. Teach us how to act, how to walk in this world, in order that through this we will be zeched to the world to come. So he gave them a number of things. Three things he told them. But the first thing he told them was, Yizaru b'kfeit chavreichem, u'bishvil kach tisku l'chayel ramabo. Be careful to give honor and respect to your colleagues, and through this you will have the world to come. The fact that he told them to respect their colleagues, that we know. We know that you have to be nice to other people. So that's not a kasha, it's not a question. But they didn't ask him for that. They didn't ask him to give him a lecture or to tell them merely musha. They didn't ask him that. They asked him a particular question. They said, Rebbe, teach us how to be zeichet to Eilam Habo. Teach us how we also can have Eilam Habo. That's what they asked him. They said, Lamdeinu orches chayim v'nisko behen le'eilam habo. Teach us how to walk in this world that will have the world to come. So what did he answer them? Yizaru b'kfeit chavreichem. Be good to your friends. And then he said, Yizaru b'kfeit chavreichem. Be good to your friends. U'bishvil kach tisku lecha eilam habo. And then you will have eilam habo. What does this have to do with the world to come? Could have told him other things. Told him, be careful with tzitzis, be careful with your lulav, be careful with your tefillin, be careful what you eat, what you drink. And tell him that. So the Maral asks the question, and he gives this answer. Why should you give honor to your friends? Why? Honor means a recognition for an excellence which is beyond you. So why should you give them honor? He says, because a human being is not a table or a chair, or not an animal. Choviv Odom Shenivra B'Tzelem Elokim. Kodesh Baruch Hu created a human being with his image. That's why you have to honor a man. You're honoring the image of Hashem. And also, if you're chaverim in Torah, you're honoring the Torah. So what are you creating a bond with? You're creating a bond with the image of Hashem or with Torah. And that's not from this world, that's from a different world. So you're creating a bond with that world. And if you do that, you'll live in this world and in the next world. That's one illustration. Another illustration, a Gemara Megillah Daf Chof Ches. Shalu Talmido Ves Rab Nechunya Ben Hakona. The Talmidim asked Rab Nechunya Ben Hakona, Bameh Herachtu Yomim. Why did you live so long? Rab Nechunya Ben Hakona used to live lived a long many years. What? Daf Chof Ches. No, it's not. What did you say? Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Bameh harachtu yomim. Why did you live so long? He lived a long time. He lived a long time, and they wanted to know what did he do to be zeichet to live so long. Omalei, so he said to his them, "Miyom ma'alei nishabarati b'kolin haveri." He says, "Miyomai, in my whole life, loi nishabarati b'kolin haveri." I never took honor in a way that someone had to be insulted or embarrassed. I never caused honor to come to me from someone else's embarrassment. This is what I was careful with. And then the Gemara brings a case. It says, Kihod Rav Huna, Dori Mora Kaspe. Rav Huna was carrying a Mora. Mora would be a shovel. He was carrying a shovel. He was carrying some instrument on his shoulder. Osir Bchano Bar Chaniloi, because Dori Mine. So Rav Chano came and he said, "Let me carry it for you." It's not covered for you to go carrying something like that in public. "Let me carry it for you." So he said, "Omale." So Rav Huna said, "Iragilis the Doris b'mosayich Dori. Bilai yishakre ano b'zilus didoch leinichole." He says, "If you're accustomed to carrying such things in the marketplace, then I'll let you carry it for me. But if you're not, I'm not going to let you embarrass yourself, or I'm not going to allow you to lower your dignity in order to raise my dignity." This is what Rav Nechunya said. Now, here we see that because he gave kovet to his chaverim, from there he had a long life. So far, so great, and to such an extreme that this halacha is that we have a Mishnah novice in Perek Vov, Mishnah Beis. Now, Mishnah Gimel. Halaymen mechavere Perek Echot, o halacha achas, o posik echot. If someone learns from his chaverei one chapter, or one halacha, one law, or one sentence, or dibur echot, or even one word of Torah, or afilo eis echos, or even one letter of Torah, tzorech linag beikovet, you have to give him honor. Someone teaches you one chapter, one law, one sentence, one word, one letter of Torah, you have to give him honor. Now it's appropriate to honor that person, because you're honoring, it's a chaver, it's a rebbe, he's taught you Torah, you're honoring Torah. Shekein mutzinu b'David HaMelech Yisrael. Now who do we learn this out from? David HaMelech. David HaMelech was a king you have to give to him honor. Sheleiloman me'achisefel ele shnei dvorim bilvad. He learned from Achisefel only two halochas, and still k'roye rebbe alufem yudoy, and still he called him, you're my rebbe, you're my alufay, you're my general, and you're my confidant. So now it's a kavachomer. If David, who was king of all Israel, only learned from Achitofel two things alone, and still he went to this great extreme to give him honor, so a plain person who learns from his friend one chapter, one law, one sentence, or one word, or one letter, how much more so shetzorech linag by kovet vein kovet el Torah, as it states, and kovet chachomim min cholo. There's another example. Now, to the contrary, we have Mishnah Rovas tells us hamischavid bekolein chavere in lechelak leilam abo. Someone who uses someone else's embarrassment to raise his own dignity, he loses his portion in the world to come. Now here we see just the opposite. He detached himself from recognizing the excellence of that individual, and not only he didn't honor that person, but he exploited the embarrassment of the other person for his own honor. Such a detachment from the next world. Moreh Bo Metzia, Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, states, Kol Malbin Penei Chaveira Barabim Ki L'Shefek Domim. Whoever insults, what is the greatest antithesis to honoring a person? Insulting a person. Well, the first antithesis is ignoring the person. Not recognizing it, lack of recognition. It is strange that we find that something which is great in the world, it's not enough that it's great, but it requires recognition. Like we say, the Western world, you have all of the time recognition. You have where they recognize the great football stars and the great soccer stars, and you have the Oscar awards. See, all the time you have recognition. But what are they recognizing? Meanwhile, that's like the Chazal say, Vaha Torah munach v'keren zovis. Torah is ignored. Something which is great in the world, a true achievement in the world, it's not enough that it merely should exist, but the statutes of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued in the world requires it must be recognized. It must be admired and it must be singled out. So the antithesis would be to be ignored. But then it goes further. You can be mavazit, you can shame it, you can insult it. Or to the ultimate is where you publicly embarrass it. That's the ultimate antithesis. And then it states, that if someone insults a person publicly, then he's a shefik domim. That's the opposite of life, that's death. And he loses his portion in the world to come. So what do we see? We see that if you detach yourself from that which is true greatness, that which is greatness that has to do with higher worlds, then you detach yourself from that world. Now, so we come back to Agamora now makes a little more sense. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. And we give us Aranti Peres. V'chulan meisu beperek echot. And they all die during one time of the year. Because they did not accord honor one to the other. We ask firstly, why did they all die? Merely because they didn't accord honor one to the other. It seems that the punishment is far greater than the shortcoming. And why during this time of the year? The answer is no. The excellence of spirit requires that recognition be given to it, that respect be given to it. And when a person gives such respect, then he bonds himself not to the physical world, but to the spiritual world. Because he's respecting the excellence of spirit, and that giving of kovod is giving of the spirit. We said the kovod which you give is not physical and is not emotional. It's the giving of the spirit. And Torah, and those that study Torah, they are the ones who are the most appropriate to receive that distinction and recognition, especially by their chaverim. And since they were lax in this, they had detached themselves from that spiritual excellence. And when one detaches oneself from that spiritual excellence, especially to the point where it could be an insult to the Haverim or an insult to Torah, then he loses his attachment to those worlds and he falls into the depths of this world, physical world. And this physical world has an end. It does not have Arichas Yomim, does not have long life in it. So this was the shortcoming. And why during this time? This time in particular is the time of excellence of Torah, of greatness of Torah. Because from Pesach to Shavuos is when Klal Yisrael were ascending level after level to reach the appropriate level of the receiving of the Torah. And it's the time every year when the levels of the Torah ascend until to the final day of Shavuos, 50th day, which is known as the 50th gate, the Shara Torah. So it's the time of this Torah ascending and of Kovara Torah, to recognize this and to recognize the excellence of Torah, its greatness, and to admire it and to give respect to it. So perhaps in another time it wouldn't have affected so much, but at this time it did. So therefore, tragically, kula meisu beperek echot, during this one time, b'mnei shalei noag v'kovod zeh lezeh, it's somewhat of an enigma that they were the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was the one who gave enormous honor to Torah. He went to all types of extremes to sit at the feet. When he was 40 years old, he sat at the feet of great Chachomim with children to study Torah. He went through all types of extremities to give honor to Torah. Many places it's brought. Unfortunately, Rabbi Akiva did not call it quits, but he went to the south. States Holach Achebo Rabbi Akiva for Rabbeinu Shebedorim v'shonu lehem, and there he taught. He opened another yeshiva, and he taught Torah to five disciples: Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Lozer ben Shamua, v'heim heim hamidu Torah esishol, and they were the ones They brought back Torah to Klal Yisrael. This gives us somewhat of an insight into this period of time and into the great mitzvah of Kovod HaTorah and Kovod for one's Chaverim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.